Amen. Amen. The Lord will turn everything around for our good in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, choir. Just touched half my message. Amen. Hallelujah. Satma, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you so much, Pastor Wai. It's been a great blessing. I remember one of the things remarkably during the meeting yesterday at the minister's conference, I was just thanking God and I was sharing with someone. I said, where you are raised matters a great deal, because I remember a number of times when I'm in class during Bible school, some of the things that are being taught is like a repeat of what I've heard before. And of course, indeed, I've heard some of them. Because in one way or the other, the pastors that have pastored me, they have shared them. So it's not like it's new, but it just comes as a confirmation and like it's digging deep on what some things that are familiar. Amen. So where you are matters a great deal. I was telling someone also, the person was planning to run away from the church where he was to a big cathedral. And I told him, I said, you will be lost there. You will be lost there. Stay where God has planted you. You don't want to get to a place where you just be lost in the crowd. You think it's convenient, but you just be lost. I remember one time too that something happened, and then I can't remember if I think it was my wife that was not feeling too well. And I said, okay, you can stay back if you want to say, if I stay, that means Pastor Emma will come home after service. I will go to church. Amen. You don't want to be in a place where you are just lost. You're not. No. Amen. I really want to thank God for surpassing grace assembly. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I'll be doing part 3 of God is not true with me yet, but I titled this one, The Surpassing Grace of God. Hallelujah. The surpassing grace of God. Let us pray. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Lord, teach us your word this morning. Lord, we receive your word with simplicity, and we thank you because our lives are imparted, our lives are transformed, and Lord, you are taking us to that place, that remarkable place where you want us in your heart dearly, and so our lives will shine forth gloriously for you, for great works in the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Here we see God talking with prophet Jeremiah and telling him that before I formed you, amen, before I formed you. So a lot of people think that their life started when their mother met their father. Mrs. D, your dad is from Ogun State, Abi? Which part? Inisho. Okay. Your mom from the same place? From Ikene? Uh-huh. That's two different parts. Amen. I think Setman also, the same thing. Different. Your father and your mother are from different parts. Good. Many of us are like that. Amen. Some of us think that it's when our father and mother met and they gave birth to us, that's where our life began. No. Our life started way long before that. Hallelujah. And that's what God is telling Jeremiah. Say, before I formed you in your mother's womb. So, for me, what it's telling me is that life for me didn't start, because I remember very well, my story is very, very, it's a whole lot. And I thank God for it anyway, because it's a testimony to some people's lives today. God, like I said in the part 2, God will take you through, sometimes God just allow you to go through some phase in life, because there are people that you will encounter in the future that needs that thing you are going through now. Same reason why you don't have to give up, no matter what it is you're going through. Hallelujah. I was shocked. I opened my mouth like this, so my mother was telling me, my own mother. At least, I know that I am the Joseph of the house, the most loved of my mother. So for her to be telling me, it's not out of hatred. She was just trying to avoid some complications in her life. So she said to me in my face, I made 2 attempts at aborting you. In fact, I did. But this stubborn boy refused to go. Amen. At the 3rd attempt was when she met somebody and cut out somebody on the road, and the person said, you go follow this one. And that was the fear that made her stop. Hallelujah. And so I believe this so strongly. He said, before I formed you in your... So meaning that before, you know, growing up, the way, I don't know how people meet now, but most times, toasting used to be about a girl just around the flower side, and the boy is speaking some turanchi, and the girl is drawing something on the ground with her leg. She's breaking the flower, and it's some even fit here money self where they don't know, go for no, because that time the things that are spinning in the head is different. Amen. I remember one guy one time in class, they say, how do you ask a girl out? And then he said, he walked up to a girl and told the girl, say, birds love each other. Why can't we love each other? Is that toasting? So, bottom line is, ever before your father met your mother, there was a plan. Turn to somebody next to you, tell the person, there was a plan. There was a plan. And that plan is God's surpassing grace for me and for you. Hallelujah. What's this plan about? God had seen from afar off, like we learned from the Bible study this morning. Abraham, through faith, saw from afar off Jesus Christ. So God saw from afar off the things that he wants to do. A coach, the coach of a team, a football team or whatever team, would come up with a plan. This is what we're going to do. We're going to play this form. We have, Brother Sunday, help me now. We have in football, we have 4-4, 4-4-2. We have 4-3, whatever. So, but in the plans of the coach, most times they have alternative plan. Abi, Pastor, am I? So that in case our opponent comes with this plan, we'll switch to so-and-so plan. That's why sometimes you see the coach talking to the person they are changing inside. That do this. He's trying to destabilize because there seem to be a tug of war with no side leading. So he comes up with an alternative plan. So he would tweak, he would change or, swap a player on the field for a player outside. I remember one of those matches I watched, I will never forget. It was Argentina. Those times you have players like Crespo and all that. Sisters, don't worry, I know this. So they had players like Crespo, great players. They were on the bench. The best of Argentine team, they were on the bench. But even the weak ones, the ones that were on the field already, they were winning the other team like 3 goals or so ahead. And I was wondering, wait till you want change again. The best legs are on the bench. See, the weak ones are already winning ahead. Amen. I'm saying this to say, God had a plan. It doesn't matter what's happening right now. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before your father ever crossed paths with your mother. I said, Ace, baby, I want to see you for 2 minutes. And then the belly began to make Paulina, sugar factory. Before then, God had a plan. He had you in mind. I want to bring this one. This one has something to do on earth. Hallelujah. So let's remove that picture in our head that is because you may have come from a background where the father is nothing to write home about, the mother is a drunkard or whatever. It doesn't really matter. The most important thing is that God had a plan. You had to show up anyway. Hallelujah. Because I've had a lot of people, including one of my brothers, every time he will come up with a story, if my father had not died, if I didn't have this kind of stepmother, this, that, and that. One day I told him, I said, guy, shut up. The person you are complaining to shares the same father with you. So which one be if papa not die, if I not survive? So because we have people who are always, they always find somewhere to blame all the ills of their life, all the problems. It's because I was born in Nigeria. Oh, shut up. Hallelujah. Pastor Enwa and Mrs. Ajiri, I'm not sure I've seen people who like Nigeria more than them. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's a blessing. Wherever he has placed you, he has planted you for a purpose. Hallelujah. I know someone who was so desperate to travel abroad. So desperate. He said if he was frustrating the entire family, he went. Sold the family house. Traveled. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. He was back to base. How? The things they were telling him to stop doing, that he thinks that all he wants is just to go abroad. He went to the abroad. 2 weeks. That same thing sent him back. Hallelujah. Deal with some things now, because somebody said charisma will take you up, but character will keep you on top. He was stealing here and doing all manner of things, and they kept talking to him. He wouldn't listen. He went there. Just 2 weeks, was back to base. He not talk of abroad again, lie. So he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. There are people who think that because they come from certain part of Nigeria or certain part of their states and all that, that's the reason why they have limitations. No. No. You were sanctified. Hallelujah. You were sanctified. Ordained. Amen. I thank God that I learned early how to take words from the scriptures. Even if, because some people will say, no, it's Jeremiah that God is talking to. God is talking to me. God is talking to you. Hallelujah. When he told Abraham, say, I have blessed you and the descendants that will come after you. Who are the descendants? We are. Hallelujah. Because we are quick to remember that, they cost everybody in my village. That's why every Christmas we must go home and go and do foundation cleansing and uprooting and digging of every foundation from my father's house. But you do not remember that your great-great-grandfather Abraham had a blessing that God covenanted with him that is on your life. But you remember the one that they say, nobody they marry for this house for so years. Nobody they born for this house. No. I carry a blessing. I have that surpassing grace of God that is upon my life. Hallelujah. Amen. The next verse, please. And he said, then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. You know, it's very often most times people come up with a lot of excuses. Moses was like that too. Moses said, God, if I go to Pharaoh, before I would make one sentence, they would stone me, they would throw me away. I stammer. People are quick with excuses. Why did you not pass? He said, everybody for the class failed. That's not what they asked you. He said, everybody for the class failed. He said, for this class, anybody when he passed, let me say the person cheats. Now lie. He defined excuse. Excuse is, it's quick. People are quick. Say, how come this, that? I say, if you see any Nigerian when he get this, now say, you are trying, looking for excuses. He was looking for excuses. He said, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Next verse, please. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Amen. Amen. Next verse, verse 8. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. So what I got from there also is, finally, what did they worry this young man was fear. Fear. Say, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. Somebody once came up and said, Pastor, I want to give testimony. And he came up and they gave him mic. And he stood. And he forgot what he wanted to share. He came out and he stood. He shook his head and he was laughing at himself. He has forgotten his testimony. He went back and sat down. And just looked himself. Said, so as a big rich. I couldn't even share what I had planned in my heart that I want to share. Fear. Fear. Because my local parlance will say, afraid, Kasham. Fear can destabilize you, can make you forget your identity. May God help us in Jesus' name. Next verse, please. It says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Hallelujah. Like I said earlier when I started, one of the things I'm really grateful to God for is here where I grew in the Word. In the Word. In the Word. Because here, you are taught not to, you can't lean on pastor. You can't lean on set man. You know, if you see yourself, you have to lean on God's Word. You are taught and directed to God. Hallelujah. Because when you have God, you have all things. If you are always running to pastor, go to your house. Pastor need time also by himself. The Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth. And what happened? And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Every word that we hear, every word that we learn from, both on radio broadcast, both in Bible booster service, both in Bible study, and in the service on Sunday, all the words that we've been hearing, they are assets. They are assets. They are treasures. You need to do something with them. Amen. You can't keep loading yourself. It's like they bring food that can last a week, and then you carry it and you eat, and you eat all the food meant for 1 week. You load them in 1 day. What will happen? Overfeeding. Overfeeding will tear you and you will just be helpless. But even the ones you have eaten, do something with it. Do something with it. Hallelujah. Amen. The things that come around, that happen around your life, they happen because the things that you have heard, the words that you have heard, God's word that you are loaded with, need to be exercised, need to be put to practice. I remember said my teacher some time ago, he said, when they press you, what will come out is going to be as a result of what you have been loaded with. Amen. God's word in your mouth can do so much wonders. Use them. Hallelujah. Yes, the last verse, verse 10. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. You just imagine all of these projects would never see the light of day because of fear. God, I'll be small boy, you. Because of excuse. No. Pastor is there. Somebody comes to you and say, I have a headache. Pray for me. He said, no, let me take you to my pastor. No. That's why you are there. As God's outstretched arm, lay your hands and pray for the person, and the person will be healed. Amen. There's no need running to pastor. Pastor too was like you. He heard God's word, ate God's word, and grew and used God's word. Amen. God's word is an asset. It's a treasure. Use it. Praise the Lord. Let's see 1 Peter chapter 2. The surpassing grace of God. Amen. 1 Peter 2. Verse 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Turn to somebody, tell the person, you are special. You are special. We've been taught here also, thank you, stepman. Thank you, Pastor NY. We've been taught here how to use your mouth. Stepman was talking, I think it was last week, about how God spoke to someone. I was telling the person, your big mouth. How you use your mouth matters a great deal. I remember in Okwangbo, one of the fellowship we had, I was teaching in that service, and then there was a Muslim woman there. The woman came to me after service, and she was saying, she's happy she came for this meeting. That if there's anything she has learned, is how to use it, because that's what we were talking about that day. That she used to curse her children. She used to curse them. She used to even swear. Money is missing in her house. She will swear. The child that took this money, she will swear. She used to curse. So when she heard that day, that the reason your children are not doing well is because of the things you are releasing from your mouth. She said, she has learned this one. She will go and be practicing it. She said, but those children, I said, yes, they can be stubborn and everything. You know, because sometimes you can, one man came back from work and he wanted to eat. So the wife served him food. Wife served him food on the stool. So the man sat down and was about to eat. One of his sons, very radical, very stubborn, just rushed to the parlor, was playing football, and just throw this in and just kick the father's food. Say, he looked at Papa and said, Papa, I go stubborn. The man looked at him like, you should just give the boy both baths. He remembered, this boy is just like him. You know, you have those kind of children around you sometimes. They are really, really stubborn. But you can rebuke them with the words of your mouth. Because the Bible says that life, the power of life and death, lies in the tongue. Hallelujah. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Let's see Jeremiah 29, verse 11 again. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, yes. Jeremiah 29, 11. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. To give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. So God has a plan. God has a plan. And his plans are perfect. His plans are perfect. His plans are perfect. We've heard stories of people who went through a whole lot. But they are in the plans of God. Pastor I was teaching us last week, and he was talking about that God is the beginning and the ending, and even the process within. Because most time we think only of the beginning and the ending, but there is a process. Hallelujah. Even the in-between, he is in it. But why am I going through this tough time? God is taking you through the process. For me, the guarantee is, he has said, I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Abi? So I should be rest assured that he who began this good work in me will bring it to completion. Amen. Like Sethman read earlier on, Psalm 138, verse 8 that we read, right? He said, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. He's in the process. He said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if I know that he will not leave me nor forsake me, even in the process, no matter how tough, no matter how turbulent, I will be rest assured, trusting, being confident of these things, that he who began a good work in me, he is faithful to complete it. So God had us in mind before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Let's see Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. So one time like that, we were in school, so we went for a convention, and then Mrs. Ashire came to borrow a book from my hand. I think I was reading one book, An Enemy Called Average, and then she came to borrow that book. So later she brought the book, and that we were in the same campus, but we went to from Enugu to Owerri for I think convention or so, fellowship convention. And that was where she saw the book and borrowed it. And then when she was borrowing the book, she said, "Which of the campus did you come from so that I can return the book?" And I said, "From Nsukka." And she said, "Ah, that's my campus." Okay. And years back, I asked her one day, I said, "That's my book that you borrowed. Is the reason why you are here? Is the reason why you are here in this house now?" So in her mind, she just wanted to borrow this guy's book and read it. But God had a plan. Because in my widest imagination, I had ruled out marrying the person I met before I met her. Apparently, they speak the same language. So this is not in language. This is not about tribe and all that. But sometimes, you just make some decisions because of some things. So one Hausa person don't show you. You can't say, even if the person where God won't give it now from Hausa, "Lord, I don't want." That Igbo girl showed me, what did they call 99? And I said, "Ha! In my life, this one, and in the life to come, if I hear E, I take off." But then, God had a plan. Hallelujah. God had a plan. Amen. I remember somebody once, we were in a talk show, and somebody asked something anyway, because sometimes people see you and even your spouse, and they're like, some people say, I want to be Dr. Dubasho. We were in Bible school once, and somebody said, was saying it to, that was in Wolf B. Somebody told them, somebody asked the question that, I just pray to marry somebody like, Bishop's wife, Bishop Oyedepo's wife. Faith. That I want to God, and my desire is to marry somebody like Mama Faith. Bishop laughed and laughed. And he said, "Have you seen that thing before?" Hey, it happens. Because some people just see you, and say, Mrs. D, may God make me like Pastor Muyiwa. Come inside now. Pastor Muyiwa has canceled me before, so I know that Mrs. D is tough, but she's godly. Hallelujah. And that's the difference. Amen. God on the inside is what makes the difference. Except the person can't say you're not going to know. So you are seeing it from you and say, I just be like set man. And okay. They have koboko. They are my pastors. I'm telling you. They have koboko. But the koboko will not kill you. It will make you better because it has to prune you and put you. That's the reason why we are the way we are today. Amen. Most of me and my wife, we sit and tell ourselves the truth. We have come this far because of the people we have in our lives. So God will plant certain people in your lives for a reason. Amen. For a reason. So that guy said, all my desires that I should just marry somebody, have a wife like Mama Faith. And Bishop laughed and laughed. Bishop Oyedepo told him and said, "You want somebody like Mama Faith? Pray that God should make you give you somebody like her. Somebody like her now, that is the finished work." So if you know the effort that has gone into making out what you are seeing now that you are admiring. Like some people will even say too, "I want to be like Bishop Oyedepo." Be praying for the Oyedepo of the now. Because if you ask his wife how he was 30 years ago, slapping demons and physical human beings, you will know that it's not easy to get to that level. It takes a lot of effort. Amen. It takes a lot of effort. So sometimes when Satan will cancel you, He's canceling you based on his experience in marriage, his experience at the workplace, his experience from both school, service, and everything. All put together, they are treasures that he has gathered. So he's canceling you now. He's even helping you because you have jumped, like Pastor Muya was talking about, say, when they say experience is the best, don't go and be experiencing people's experience. If you experience it, you will not live to tell the testimony. So that people are giving you these treasures they have gone through and they are dishing it out like this now is because they have gathered years of learning, studying under people, being pushed here and there and everything, and they are giving you on a platter of gold. You don't have to go through all the pains they went through. They are giving you on a platter of gold like a gift. Treasure it and run with it. And you see your life just going like, let me break it down the way it said. That we are where we are right now because we have giants that we could stand on their shoulders. So the knowledge they had that they passed on to us, we caught it and we run with it. That's why we are able to be where we are right now. Amen. How many of us can face Goliath and fight and come out with the victory and say, I've gotten that Goliath experience. And then you go to the lion's den like Daniel and say, I've gotten the Daniel's experience. How many of us can go through that if experience is the best teacher? It's the best teacher because you are learning from people who have been through it and now they are sharing the testimony. If you go through their experience, you will not live to tell the story. Amen. Do we understand that? So let's treasure it. Let's treasure those moments. The process in between is as important as the beginning and the end. So let's not give up. Let's hold on to God's unfailing hand as we go through the process. Hallelujah. So I said Jeremiah 29:11. He said that I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace. No, I think I've mentioned Ephesians. Yes. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 2. It's a grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before what? The foundation of the world. So my birth, my coming, my being here didn't start when my popsy said, hey, babes, I want to see you. No, it didn't start there. It started before the foundations of the earth. Where was I? In God's mind. The Bible says he had me in mind. Hallelujah. I was a project in his mind that he was going to bring forth. Hallelujah. You know, the man that is building a house, he's building the house with a picture of what the finished work would be. So as he's doing it, this place is the bedroom. Let it be like this, let it be. Sometimes when I go to check some houses and I see the bedroom, I'm wondering. Or you see the kitchen, I'm wondering. Because you go to some vacant house that they want to rent out, and you see the room, and you're thinking, this person thinks a bed go fit enter this place. You see the room, very small, cable like this, like a cubicle, and you're like, The person built this thing, you don't get sense, or you know, think, or which material you manage, which kind of foam you won't put for. He said, this one, especially those houses that they renovate. They renovate and adjust it. The room, where you put it, even Munachi cannot even sleep in his bed in that room. It's very small. So the man who is building a house has a picture, a mental picture of what he wants, even though what you are seeing is the carcass. Hallelujah. As you're going through that phase, have a mental picture of the glorious end. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible will say things like, we are pressed on all sides, yet we are not giving up. Because we remain steadfast. Because we know that he who began a good work in us is able to bring it to completion. Amen. Just as he shows us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Like Seth said, that you made... I remember Mount Zion, they had this movie many years ago, Just a Little Sin. The fact that that thing happened does not mean that it has canceled you out of God's love. Wake up, dust yourself, and get back on track. Hallelujah. Pastor Mima was sharing with us on Thursday or so, when he went for service, and he said, cannot bath cold water. But when he saw how serious it was, he had to go back, go to You have to go to the line. Because when your commander says, everybody fall in line, you don't get excuse. You must come out. Hallelujah. So dust yourself and get back on track. Amen. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ Jesus himself, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Hallelujah. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. Amen. We all really need to come to that point where we have a clear picture. Can you switch to TPT for me? That same verse. TPT, please. Where we understand, where we begin to consume all the scripture that has a lot to do with the mysteries, divine mysteries of God. Hallelujah. Yes. It says, and through the revelation of the anointed one, he unveiled his secret desires. The Bible will call it divine mysteries. Hallelujah. Divine mysteries. Divine mysteries. Growing up, I remember one of those days that my mom called me into her room one day and said, I want to tell you some things. And then she called me and she told me some deep things. Deep things she had not told anybody. Then she made mention of them. I must tell you, it felt so special. Special. Because there are not things that she can just tell anybody, not even my siblings. Yes. Divine mysteries. He unveiled his secret desires to us. Deep mysteries, the hidden mysteries of his long-range plan. Hallelujah. How do you feel? Somebody just calls you. Just imagine. Let me use a public figure that people naturally would respect. So somebody like Professor Olesho Inka calls you with all his gray hair, with many years experience, and begins to tell you some things. Say, I want to tell you this. I've never told anybody this. Let me tell you. And begins to tell you something. You will feel special, like, this man see everybody. And he calls me and he's telling me these things. God unveiled his long-term plan that he had. Hallelujah. You know what that tells me also? I can only be bamboozled by the devil if I do not know these things. The reason why many people are sick and shortchanged or going through stuff is because they do not know what has been revealed. Because when you know, all you will do is kick that bastard out. You won't let the devil begin to mess you up. Someone called me and said, I have this problem. A very close bosom primary school. Was having this challenge for a long time. He's very zealous. But only one thing. And it's most time when he's going to get a breakthrough that he will show up. And he'll find himself here again. After he has struggled and he said, just when he's about to get a breakthrough. There are mysteries that you know, secrets that you know. The essence is to help you so that you break off from that habit. Like I tell people, where you are matters a great deal. I will always be grateful for Surpassing Grace Assembly. Where you are matters a great deal. What you eat matters a great deal. What you hear matters a great deal. Amen. And when I'm talking about what you eat, the word that you eat, that you consume, that you hear, matters a great deal. I told the guy, I said, guy, For you to be married and you're still looking at this thing and it's beholding you right from your youth, you better deal with it. When it looked like, one time I even called, I think after one prayer walk, I called Setman and asked some questions to be able to give him some things that would help him. And that was what helped him. Amen. That's what helped him. Because the devil knows it's only this way I can keep this guy where he is. And that's why Paul understood. And that's why Paul said, those things that easily beset me. It could be just a little sin. It could be just a little sin. It can hinder you from ever venturing into that place of your destiny where God wants you to be. Except you deal with it. And it's not by power. It's just by exposing yourself to God's word. Knowing the mysteries that have been revealed. Hallelujah. Some is that they cannot look woman and come on eye. Some, you can't carry drink past where they're there. I have a friend. He attends one of these churches where they deal with devil a whole lot. But as they deal with devil rich, he cannot throw away sticks. So any small thing, I notice that any small thing, 5 minutes, you don't come on. 5 minutes, I said, now peace, you go peace. He said, no. So I observed very well. I said, come on, I follow around. I see him for bathroom. He was smoking. Hey, now this thing, I mean, you leave this important meeting when we get every five minutes, this thing. I took it and I crushed it. The way he shouted, like his life is in the cigar. Even the day he was fasting, came to meet me one day here at Ogudu. He said, I need to see. He was fasting. They in worship in a place where they carry a machine gun and shoot devil very, very, very well. Even in his fasting, he told the woman, say, bring cigars. If you try that nonsense here, I'll give you a dirty slap. Those things that easily beset you. Because the flesh will always draw you, tilt you towards the things that he wants you to do. And those are the things that will debar, that will cut off what is already loading, that will help you unveil, that will help you emerge, that will help you come out as what God has destined you to be. Amen. So, his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Amen. In him, you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Pastor, I touched this also on Thursday when I was talking about being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I beg you. You're missing a whole lot. We don't come here to waste our time during booster service. There's a whole lot that we hear. There's a whole lot that's being shared that would help you, because God will first equip you, and then you will go out there and you will see, you'll come across some things. But because you've been equipped with the word, you can overcome. But if you fail to show up and the thing is present,
you don't have the answers. And then you go out there, you stand a great risk. Yes, I understand sometimes that due to certain peculiarities, work and all that, I'm not saying don't go to work, but you can view the program online and still get blessed. We hear a lot of testimonies of people through radio broadcasts, through Zoom meetings, and all that. They share mighty testimonies. And one thing I ask myself is, what if this person had not hooked up on this program? You have also shared with me also several times when you get blessed, right? Right? From Zoom meeting, Abby? Uh-huh. So just imagine that you were not online. You will be robbed off, you'll be denied of that asset, of that treasure. Amen. 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? Hallelujah. 15, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Let me take it in TPT. I pray that the Father of glory, I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the wisdom, of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through the deepening intimacy with him. You see, I was thanking God about having fathers, pastors, mentors who showed me the pathway and said, hook on to God. Don't look at us, look at God. They teach me, raise me, and say, is God, oh, is this. Deepening intimacy, deepening your intimacy with him. Hallelujah. This is where our strength lies. The deeper you go, I remember Seth talking, emphasizing on fellowship with the Father, fellowshipping with the Father. The deeper your fellowship with God, the more your ability to always get victory, whatever comes your way. I've been in circumstances where it looks like, oh, this is the end. This is there's no way out. But somehow, like we watch in movies, there's a Superman that just showed up and just grabbed you. It's here. Amen. That's when you know that there's a supernatural presence of God around you. Something just happened. And my wife sometimes was like, how did this happen? How did this person know that at this time, when it looks like he don't read, that's God at work. Philippians 2:13, that's God working in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. He will never leave you stranded. He will never leave you forsaken. Amen. You think for Joseph to run, the Bible says he fled, leaving his coat. I don't know if it's that one that his mother made for him that was how many colors. His branded Gucci coat. Left it in the hand of the woman. Because he knows that what I carry is my destiny. I will not, for the sake of 2 minutes pleasure, lose this. You don't want to know how many destinies have been sacrificed on the platter of for just 2 minutes. I went somewhere one day in Mende. I saw one guy crying. I said, waiting. He said, this work don't tire me. What's the problem? They gave him target. And to meet his target, he felt the best way to do it was to sleep around. He started sleeping around. Even as a man, he was frustrated. Now, they all want him. He's wahala. He cannot share himself. There are things we just shouldn't toy with. Because you don't want to get to that point where, first, apart from robbing you of your destiny, It is frustrating. It's bad. It's messy. But there's a path you will be, and that you are just happy. You wake up in the morning. Things there, things not there. You are happy. You are excited. You have joy. Joy that is not controlled by something in your pocket. No, joy. Real joy. Hallelujah. 18. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. Another version was the understanding. Imagination flooding you with light. Hallelujah. Sometimes you're thinking about something. What's the way? What's the way? What's the way? What's the way? What do I do? What do I do? And then the idea just comes. Light. Light. It takes you to be on a path to get that light, that idea come. Amen. I was sharing happily with Mrs. Day. I went for an interview. And in just 3 minutes, others they were taking one hour. They called me. And in 3 minutes, I was done. Just last week. 3 minutes. I said, is this it? Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Light. Flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation. The full revelation until it is fully revealed, unveiled of the hope of his calling. What he's saying here is that you don't need to wait until you understand that there's a call of God upon your life. No, that's not what we're talking about, because everybody cannot be pastor. Yes. But you see, you have something that is great in your hand. And what is it? That you are called to serve. Amen. I remember in school, they taught us about, we have those who are in the fivefold and we have those who are in a supportive ministry. You see, we are all called. Hallelujah. In case you don't know, we are all called. Now, you never identify your call. Somebody is called to clean the bench. Somebody is called to clean the floor. Somebody is called to clean the toilet. Somebody is called to fix the instrument. Somebody is called because set man cannot stand here and preach, and people will hear there if this is not set up. So the man who is fixing this there is equally doing a good work that gladdens the heart of God. Hallelujah. So do it with joy, with excitement. Oh, I'm part of what God is going to use to bless the lives of people today. Hallelujah. Because whether you are not holding the mic here, it doesn't stop you from fixing it there. So that when the man of God comes and said man is preaching, or Pastor Mungo is preaching, as they are teaching God's word, somebody is blessed. Somebody online, somebody anywhere that will even stumble on this material later, we get blessed. So you're playing a vital role. Oh, that I could raise my hand and be called as the one that will lead worship, and I'm leading worship, or I'm playing the keyboard, or I clean the pulpit, or clean everywhere. I have played a great role in the service where God is going to manifest himself and touch lives. Hallelujah. I can't remember who shared the story, whether it was Sedman or so, about somebody who talked to someone and said, did you see the toilet? This is a big man. Saying, did you see that toilet? That's my handwork. With excitement, with joy. So the guy is cleaning the toilet. Big man. So you can imagine that you have Dangote in your church and he's the one cleaning the toilet. It's not about serere. Clean the toilet very well. And as you are, with joy, with excitement. Le brando son tori and amande vere dosh. He's cleaning it. Everyone who comes here to use this toilet, their lives are transformed. They are blessed. Doing it with joy from within. Hallelujah. Whether you are directing cars to park where, or you are welcoming somebody at the front to come into church, do it with smile, because what you are doing plays a great impact in the whole deal. Hallelujah. Because this is God's service. This is God's business. And he takes everything seriously. Let's bring this to a wrap. Okay, so. Amen. Amen. I'll just quickly just do two scriptures and then we'll just wrap up. We can stand up on our feet. We can stand up on our feet. James chapter 3. We are going to read this. Hallelujah. Oh, le brana mask avaradosh and the boss on the mask. Okay, it's Jude. Sorry. Jude 1. Jude 1:17, and then we jump to Jude 1:17. Say, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to jump to 20 now. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There are things that are very, very sacrosanct, okay? Haven't become born again. If you've not, yes, there's opportunity to get born again. But then after that, there's something to do. You don't just stop there. You don't stop in primary school. Say, now it's only primary one you want to the day because you want to the pass. They beat everybody. No, go where your mate are. Challenge yourself. Push yourself further. There's a next level to hit. Hallelujah. The TPT say, but you, my delightful loved friends, constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Another one say, build yourself like an edifice. Build yourself like an edifice, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes as we pray. If you're here and you want to make it right with God, yes. You see this life we're talking about, understanding the mysteries of God? It will be like chemistry to me. That's how it will be to you. I don't do chemistry. I don't do physics. When I see all those things, it'll be like, what is this? That's how it will be. You can only understand it. You can only grasp it when you are in line. And how do you get in line? When your life is turned over to God. Hallelujah. So if you're here and you do not have him as your master and your savior, you're here and you do not have relationship with him, you can do that even this morning. You can do that even this morning. It's very simple. It's very simple. Just talk to him. You can put your hand on your chest and just tell him, Lord Jesus, I want to build a relationship with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to love you. I want to know you. I want to do life with you. I want to live this life. I want to live this life that's been talked about. I want to enjoy it. I want to experience it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to experience it. You can do that right now. Talk to him. He's a faithful God and he calls. It's his will that people should come to him. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, if you're here, you're filled with the Spirit, you can begin to pray. Dearly beloved, building yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Can we pray in the Holy Ghost this morning? I stay on the path. I stay on the path. I stay steadfast. I stay steadfast. And I'm burning for the Lord. Nothing pulls me down. Nothing draws me back. I stay steadfast. I stay focused on the call, on the goal. The Bible says no one puts his hand on the plow and look back his feet. Lord, I stay steadfast. I stay hungry. That your spirit will do a quick work in me. Causing me to make great impact in my war for the kingdom. Thank you, mighty God. Glory to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.